going through Peter verse by verse, and we just got going in chapter 3. We talked to the wives, we talked to the husbands, because God talked to the wives and God talks to the husbands. Remember, husbands? Last Sunday we looked at verse 7, how we are to honor, dwell with our wives according to knowledge, in an understanding way, giving honor. We are to treat her with great honor and respect. She is the queen, and we treat her like a queen. You mean I gotta bow to her? Yes. Yes. Once in a while. Once in a while, okay? You bow to her. Yeah. Have you been doing that right, guys? Okay, well, me neither. But honor her, honor her. And this morning we're at verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. And let's see, children's church, none today, right? Okay, no children's church today. Okay, verse 8, 1 Peter 3. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I want to ask a question as we begin this morning. How low will you go? How low will you go? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless our time in the Word this morning. May your name be magnified. May our Savior be lifted up. And I pray you'll teach us, show us the things from your Word that we ought to be doing, we ought to be obeying and applying. And just help me, Lord, as I preach and speak to my heart through your Word as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus Christ, in his great high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 20, prayed that those who would come to believe in him as Savior and become part of the New Testament church would be one, that they would be unified. In verse 20, he said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. So Jesus prayed that those who would come to believe on him, you and me, would be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, this prayer, that they all may be one, was not a prayer for ecumenical unity, promoting worldwide Christian unity or cooperation, as is often, very often taught from this verse. Christ is not praying that we would compromise our foundational beliefs in the fundamentals of the faith, as the ecumenical movement would have us do, such as the virgin birth of Christ, his deity, his sovereignty, his blood atonement, his bodily resurrection from the dead, his second coming, and our commitment to the inspiration, inerrancy, and infallibility of the Word and the words of the living God. That's not what he was saying, that we give up all that so that we can get along with every denomination in the world. And that's what Satan would love for us to do, to get along with everybody. And to get along with everybody, you've got to give up about everything to where there's nothing left to believe, right? This is rather a prayer that true believers, true born-again, blood-bought believers, that believers who would become part of local churches would be one in spirit, in purpose, in love, and devotion to their head, Jesus Christ. Now, there are many things that we need to be as believers, but of all things, I believe unity is essential. Unity is essential. Unity is a big one, because we're all in this together. We're all headed for eternity together. We're all headed to heaven together, right? So God wants us to be together. And we can be unified without compromising our foundational doctrinal beliefs. We contend for the faith. Okay, that's essential. That we contend, we fight for the faith. But we do it in love. And we do it for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. In other words, we don't need to be cranks about standing for the truth and fighting against error. We can be onward Christian soldiers without being cranks about it. We can contend without being contentious. Paul fought the canker of deception, but he didn't do it cantankerously. He said in Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. He also said in verse 15 of Ephesians 4, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto all things which is the head, even Christ. He said we need to be speaking the truth and standing for the truth, but we're to be doing it in love. 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 Now, unity doesn't mean we agree on everything, needless to say. It doesn't mean uniformity. Uniformity. When I say uniformity, I think of uniforms. We don't all wear the same uniform, do we? Okay? We're not one form. We're not changing in form and character. In other words, okay, uniformity. Unity isn't necessarily uniformity. We don't walk in lockstep with each other. But we do walk with each other and uphold each other and love one another and pray for one another and support one another and bear one another's burdens, right? And some of you are models at this. You are super examples of doing this. We are moving toward Christ and heading toward heaven together. And as we head toward heaven together, we need to be in harmony, in concord as we travel. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Ask Amos in Amos 3:3. Now, we've been looking at a section in 1 Peter that is all about submission. Remember that? Chapter 2, verse 13, we're to submit to every ordinance of man. Or literally, we're to submit to every creation, including governmental authorities. In chapter 2, verse 18, servants are to be subject or submit to their masters. In chapter 2, 21, Christ was submissive in suffering. And then in chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, wives are to be in subjection to their own husbands. And now we see another section that I believe ties into all that has gone before, in that Peter is challenging his fellow believers to be submissive to one another in godly, selfless, through godly, selfless characteristics of being of one mind, of being compassionate to one another, of loving as brethren, of being merciful, of being humble. Verse 8. And all of this requires a submissive spirit of just putting the other guy, the other gal first. It's as simple as that. Putting others first. Of serving others. Of ministering to others. We've been looking at spiritual gifts on Sunday night. You need to be here for that. Spiritual gifts. Every single one of you have a spiritual gift. And what are you using it for? You're using it for others. It's all about using our gifts to serve others. That's what gifts are all about. None of them are to ever be used for ourselves. They're to be ministering to others. And it requires our stooping down to lift others up, stooping to help others, going down to minister to those in need. It's going low, but how low can you go? Look at 2, if you would. Turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5. Okay, Philippians 2, 1 through 5. Paul writes this, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not something to be held on to, right? But he gave himself. That's the model. Look not every man on his own thing. Think of others as better than yourselves. And you're saying, that's hard to do when I know I'm better than them. Oh, really? We are? Oh, my. Well, I guess we need to look at this a little more closely then. In other words, quit focusing so much on your own things, your own interests, your own projects, your own goals, dreams, your own problems. We get pretty fixed on our own problems, don't we? I speak for myself then. I sure do. I sure can get focused on my own problems, whether they be physical or mental, I got some of those too, or emotional or spiritual. No, we need to quit focusing on our own problems and take some time to consider the things of others. Remember, others have problems too. Others have goals and dreams and projects too. That's what we need in our church here at Wheatland Baptist Church. That's what you need to do. You need to be more Christ-like and more like Jesus Christ. This day, today, we celebrate and give thanks to God for establishing this church 36 years ago. And I believe one of the greatest ways to show our gratitude, our thanksgiving to God, is by simply loving each other. And we can do that. We can do that. There are many things we can't do, but we can love each other. So one of the great ways to show our gratitude is to love each other, care for each other, serve one another, be submissive to one another. And that's what this passage in Peter is all about. And I think it's by the providence of God that we've come to this passage today on our anniversary Sunday. The unity that we must have requires that I become, because none of us has arrived, have we? That I become what God wants me to become. We're always becoming. We're always becoming something. And we're either always becoming better or badder, to coin a new word. Or we're becoming better or worser, to throw out another word that we never hear. Which will it be? And what will it be? This unity concept teaching of the Bible requires that I be something or be someone that I may not be at present. So let's consider some things I need to be. I want to talk about the five B's of this passage and ask the question, how low will you go? Now, we're just going to look at B number one this morning, and I'll develop that. And we'll get to the other four B's another time. But we're going to start with number one of the five B's that I need to be. And number one is, be like-minded. Okay, we're going to talk about that. I need to be like-minded. What's our verse say in verse 8? Be ye all of one mind. Be all of one mind. This is the main thought of this verse. This is the command of what I should be. And then that command is further described by words which follow. All of one mind. All of one mind is just that. One-mindedness, like-minded, living in one accord, having the same mind, It's just being in harmony. It's getting along by thinking along the line of Bible teaching and Bible obedience. Living in one accord, having the same mind, being in harmony. And we need this in the church. We need this in our home. Maybe some of you don't have harmony in your own home. We need it in the church. We need it in the home. It's helpful to have it in the place where you work, right? And we do not have it in the United States Congress, do we? We've seen for many years now that they will not and they just cannot work together. But that's what we must have as a church, the ability to work and serve together as a family of believers. Turn to Romans 15. By the way, we saw that on display yesterday. We had a great work morning yesterday, and we had folks, we appreciate you that came out and shoveled rock and trimmed bushes and did a number of things, and we got a lot done. And we worked in harmony. I didn't hear anybody yelling at anybody, I don't think. Now, we've been hearing a neighbor down the street really yelling at someone almost on a daily basis. But praise God, we don't yell at one another, right? And we had unity yesterday, and we appreciate all of you that helped out. Okay, Romans 15, 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us do what? Please his neighbor. Who is my neighbor? The one who has a need. Maybe the one sitting beside me, behind me, in front of me. The one I rub shoulders with at work. Maybe one in the home. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Then verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Jesus Christ, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ received us to the glory of God. Wow, that's quite a high standard. I'm to love and care and show compassion and be receiving others like Christ received me. Well, when Christ received me into his family, I was a wretched rat of a sinner. And Christ received me and changed me. When we are like-minded, when we please our neighbor for his good, what do? We glorify God when we do that. We bring honor and glory, and we are being pleasing, and we bring pleasure to God. So we think one-mindedness, and we speak with our mouths. We think one-mindedness, and we speak with our mouths one-mindedness, and thus we glorify God. Turn now to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. We sing the song, The Church is One Foundation. That hymn is on page 165, but we're familiar. One of the verses says, elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses, with every grace endued. We're to be one. That's the church's one foundation, is to be one in him. Ephesians 4, 1 through verse 5 or 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. How? With all lowliness. Remember, we asked, how low will you go? With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. There's one. And so be one. Be one, be like-minded, be one mind, and be unified. Now, we may not agree on many things, but we will be in harmony concerning the things of Bible doctrine, things that matter for eternity, concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ. We are in agreement about him, right? Now, how we do things, and what things we do, and what colors we like, and what clothes we wear, what time we have services, we will have multiple opinions about that, right? We all have our personal preferences, but we need not fight over our preferences and opinions. James says in James 4:1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? In other words, from where do battles and strifes come from among you? Come they not even of your lusts that war in your members? And the psalmist said, Psalm 133:1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Our like-mindedness is precious. It's like the ointment that ran down Aaron's beard, as he goes on to say in Psalm 133. It's precious, and we have to guard it carefully and continually. When we have unity, we got to hang on to it, because Satan will try to destroy it. Satan loves to divide, and he would love nothing more than to divide this congregation and any other who follow the Word of God. But if we are like-minded on the essential truths, then we will be in a position that little petty differences will make no difference in the overall unity and like-mindedness of the truth. Remember, it doesn't mean uniformity, but it means being like-minded, one mind and one mouth, glorifying God. We all belong to Jesus Christ, right? We're all going to heaven. We're all going to the same heaven to worship the same Jesus Christ. Guess what? We're not going to be isolating ourselves in heaven like we do on earth, right? We're not going to be keeping to ourselves. We're not going to say, Lord, I just should have a little corner over there away from everybody else because I don't get along with anybody up here. Well, I tell you, I don't think you're going to be in heaven if that's the case. No, we're going to be one. Then why can't we do that now? We're to live as though we have a heaven on earth now. That's what the church is to be. And it can be. It's up to you and me. He has made us one, so we must be one. There is but one Lord Jesus Christ, and he is Lord of all. We are bought with one price. And every single one of us is a debtor to Christ and a slave to Christ. And we all have that in common. We're not slaves to sin any longer. So let's not be slaves to our own opinions, because sometimes our own opinions can be sinful, the way we hang on to them. And let's not be slaves to our own opinions and preferences to the point of disrupting the unity of the family of God, no less. If that happens, then I become a slave to sin. Look at 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, if you would. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. God is faithful. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. For it have been declared unto me, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And one says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, and so on. They were divided, and Paul says, no, you can't be divided. Be perfectly joined together. And then chapter 3, verse 21, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, or of the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, are all yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God. We're all one. We're in this together. So be like-minded. Under be like-minded, Number one, or letter A, being like-minded means that we'll have compassion. We'll have compassion one towards another. Verse 8 again, we're in 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be all of one mind. And what does that mean? Having compassion. Now he's going to describe what like-mindedness is, one-mindedness is. It's having compassion one of another. Compassion, that's an essential virtue of unity, of being of one mind toward one another. And lack of compassion will eventually bring disunity. But compassion shown to another will not happen unless I have a single mind and a single purpose in the church. Now, the original word here, the Greek word, which this was originally written, is a word, sympathēs. Sympathēs. Say sympathēs 10 times. Sympathēs, 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 and it sounds like sympathy. Sympathēs. Sympathy. That's what it is. Our English word sympathy comes from this word. It's suffering or feeling the like with another. It's feeling with another. With another. It's having sympathy towards others. But it's not feeling sorry for others. It's sharing feelings with others. It's to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with that one who is weeping. Romans 12:15. Empathy is another word. Empathy is entering into the feelings of another. Sharing in the feelings of another. Not just sharing with, but entering into those feelings. We need that. I need to do that. You need to do that. How the church needs compassion. And it begins within the body, and then it naturally flows outward to those outside the body that are in darkness, needing the light and seeing the light. And they will see the light when they see compassion coming from you. That's the best type of witness we can be, just showing the love of Christ to others, helping them, doing something kind for them, not just preaching at them. And there's none more compassionate than our Lord God and Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 86:15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. Psalm 111:4, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Psalm 145:8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, but I will not forget thee. That's compassion from our Lord. Lamentations 3:32. But though he cause grief, yet he will have compassion. God may bring chastisement. He may bring trouble into your life. But in that, he will have compassion all at the same time. Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Matthew 15:32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him, and he said, I have compassion on the multitude, but they, because they continue with me now and have nothing to eat. And then Jude 1:22, and some having compassion, making a difference. If you and I have compassion, we'll make a difference in the life of another believer and in the life of an unbeliever. So being like-minded means that we'll have compassion. Secondly, being like-minded means that we'll have brotherly love to one another. He goes on to say, and love his brethren. Okay, we know that, right? We'll love his brethren. Oh, we'll give you another Greek word here. It's the word philadelphos. Philadelphos. And of course, we know Philadelphia is a city of brotherly love. Philadelphos means brotherly love, or loving the brethren, loving like a brother. We should call our church Philadelphia Church, right? Loving the brethren church. Or could we do that? That would be good. But we'd have to live up to that, right? And we have to anyway. Loving the brethren, loving like a brother, loving one's brethren. That's easy to do because he or she is my brother or sister in Christ. We're one. We're family. It's referring to the love between fellow family members. And we are family members in the very real sense of the word. And often we're closer to one another as members of the body of Christ than of our own biological family. That's what the Holy Spirit does at salvation. He baptizes us into the family of God, into Jesus Christ, and we become one. We are a spiritual family. And that's the best kind. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth in the Spirit unto unfeigned love, unpretended love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. We hear a lot about fake news. Fake news. I think our president became famous for that. Well, sometimes we have fake love. Peter says, no, we don't want fake love, but genuine love of the brethren. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all men, love the brotherhood. 1 John 3:14, we know we have passed from life unto death because we do what? We love the brethren. That's a sign that I'm saved. That's one of the marks or one of the reasons I can have assurance of salvation, because I just love other Christians. I love being around my fellow believers. They're family to me. And then you're probably a Christian if you love that. That's one of the marks. And then Romans 12:10, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. I'm to show affection to others. Wow, I got some work to do, don't I? So being like-minded means I'll show brotherly love. Thirdly, being like-minded means that we'll be tender-hearted to others. That's the word pitiful here. I'll be tender-hearted. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion of one another, loving as brethren, and be pitiful. And literally, that means a tender heart. Some of you may have a different version that translates it, tender heart or kind-hearted. That's the idea. The Holman Bible translates it compassionate, be compassionate. So it's that idea of being tender-hearted, pitiful. Means that the word pitiful has come to have has changed over the years. Strong's Concordance says it means tender-hearted, merciful, compassionate. The other place where this word is used, it's only the only other place it's used is Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. There, the King James translates it tender-hearted, forgiving one another. So, Lord, make my heart a little more tender. Put some tenderizer on it is what we need to do. Put some tenderizer on my heart. The Greek word, let me give you another Greek word because I love this one. The Greek word is eusplagnoi. 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 E-U-S-P-L-A-G-X-N-O-I. And the root of this word refers to the internal organs, your intestines. Bowels. Sometimes it's translated bowels or intestines. In Acts 1:18, the root splachni, splachnos. We read that Judas hanged himself and he fell and he burst asunder and his bowels gushed out. That word splachnos is a word for bowels. His bowels, his guts gushed out. In other words, his splachna splatter is what it is. It's the idea, and eusplagnai is the idea of having a strong feeling and affection for someone that comes from your gut. Now we're familiar with that. I have that gut. I just feel it in my gut. I'm so overcome with my emotion. It just comes from my gut. You see. deep down inside of you. Kind of, we would say it's from my heart, but this word actually is referring to the gut. Is what it's having gut level compassion is what God wants to see from you and me. Now, we've got to learn that. We've got to learn to be tender-hearted. Now, I'd rather use the word tender-hearted. Tender-hearted than gut-hearted, right? Tender-hearted. But we've got to learn to be tender-hearted. Some seem to be naturally inclined that way. Don't you just hate people like that? They're so nice, and they're so kind, and they're so caring, and they just, they'll do anything for anybody. And they put me to shame, and I feel like going and crawling in a hole because I got to work at that. And they do too, but it sure seems like it's natural. They make you feel so guilty because you aren't that way. And they are folks that are just so very kind and gentle and compassionate, and they listen to you. And not only do they listen, they look at you when they listen to you. Wow, that's a novel idea. But we need to do that, don't we? They look at you when they talk to you, and they ask questions, and they show they're sincerely concerned. They want to help. And some of us have to work at that because it's just not our nature. Some of us tend to be harsh and rough and critical, and we just don't have time for people. I don't have time for that person. Is that what Jesus would say? If you have a broken arm, and it's in a sling, and you just broke it yesterday, and now it's in a sling, you're pretty careful not to bump into anything with it. It's tender. And the folks around you have to be careful not to run into you. That's how we need to treat others. They're tender. I need to be tender-hearted. Many are hurting. Many are wounded, and they are tender, and their wounds are tender, and we can help in healing by showing compassion and pity or tender-heartedness. So being like-minded means we'll be compassionate, we'll have brotherly love, we'll be tender-hearted, and finally, being like-minded means we'll be courteous to others. Be pitiful, be courteous. Now, modern translations translate this, be humble, be humble. I know the New King James does. Maybe that's a better idea. Be humbly courteous. Be humbly courteous. It's also translated humility, lowliness of mind. And so it brings us back to our original question, how low will you go? How low will you go to have unity? It's that quality of mindset of having a humble opinion of oneself, a deep sense of my littleness, because we are so little on the scale of things. Humility is one of the great characteristics of one who is born again, one who is transformed by the Spirit of God. And of course, Jesus Christ himself, before whom every knee will bow, was the most humble man who ever walked this planet. And if he who is the rightful heir of all things, who is King of Kings, can be so humble as to wash the feet of his disciples, and above all can allow wicked men to spit upon him and mock him and then murder him like a wretched criminal, who am I to think that some task and some forms of service or some people that I'm to serve are beneath my dignity? Who do I think I am? And yet I think this way because I still have remnants of the old man in me, the old nature that I've got to battle every day. It never goes away. That old man will be there until I'm ushered into the presence of God. So I've got to battle him. 1 Peter 5:5 says, God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble, so I'm to be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility, he says. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, forbearing one another in love. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. I know these are high, high goals, but God will lift us up and give us grace if we'll just humble ourselves before Him. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. How low will you go? Christ went lower than any man. He died on the cross. Lowly, lowly, lowly. How low will you be willing to go for the sake of unity and one-mindedness in the body? How low will you go and how far will you go to make sure that you do your part to have a oneness of mind in the body? Will you show compassion to others? Are you willing to forget about yourself and show love to your brother or sister in Christ? After all, they're family. They are family. Are you tender-hearted towards those who need a tender heart? There are many. There are many in our midst today that need a tender heart, to need a sense, a tender heart from you. It begins in the home. It begins with family. It begins with our spouse, our children, our parents. How is it going in your house? Lowliness or harshness? And what about courtesy in the form of humility? I need to put it on, don't we? Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Philippians 2:8. Have you humbled yourself and come to Christ and come to the cross where the Savior died in your place? That's how salvation comes to you. That's how you're saved. Not by works, not by any good thing you can do, because none of us is good, but by humbling yourself before Christ and the cross and admitting that you have nothing to offer that will make you acceptable. You can only offer Him yourself. Do it today. Do it now, and then we can do it towards others. God help us to be one in Christ. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, this passage. May we put it to practice by your help in your grace. May we find your grace to be sufficient to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. May we have a like-mindedness within our church, Lord, and continue to give us unity, and may we just serve you together until that day when we are ushered together into the presence of our Savior. We pray your blessing now as we close. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to our